Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading from chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 from the New International Version. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles or in your bulletins. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Friend, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You pray with me. Oh, Father, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit in the reading and the hearing of your word. We thank you for hearing our prayers and for hearing our songs of praise. And now, Lord, as your word is preached, we ask your blessings, Lord, on this time, that this message would be helpful, Lord, and applying your scripture to our lives. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. Well, this is our third and final sermon of a sermon series on the Matthew passage I just read, where Jesus is encouraging us to pray, more specifically to ask, to seek, and to knock. So today, I'm encouraging you to keep on knocking. To keep on knocking on heaven's door. And so since we'll be talking about knocking, I thought we'd start with some knock-knock jokes. I thought maybe you would just play along with me, okay? So knock-knock.
Who's there?
Kent.
Kent who?
Can't reach the doorbell, that's why I'm knocking. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Luke.
Luke who?
Look through the peephole and find out. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cain.
Cain.
Can I come in? And finally, because I know we're running out of patience. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Mark.
Mark.
Mark my words. You'll be pleased when you open the door. You see, there's a persistent quality to knock, knock jokes. They just keep coming, don't they? And they remind us of other jokes. But this morning, friends, Jesus is inviting us into a persistent prayer relationship. You see, there's an old saying is that you get better at what you practice. And while practice doesn't always make perfect, it does make us better. It does make us better at what we practice. So again, friends, keep knocking, keep asking, and keep seeking God in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus told two familiar stories that relate to the persistence of prayer. In Luke chapter 11, this is right after the disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, tell us how to pray." And he gave them the words of the Lord's Prayer, which we recited during prayer time. But right after this, he said to them, "Imagine that one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, 'Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.'" Jesus said, "Imagine further that he answers from within the house, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' 'I assure you,' Jesus said, 'even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's boldness. And I tell you,' Jesus said, 'ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened.'" Friend, God will never say to us in prayer, "Don't bother me." God will never say that to us. But we are invited to pray with boldness, even brashness. We're invited to pray expectantly. I read a book the other day by a man by the name of Wayne Rickert, and I'll tell you more about Wayne later. And in his book, he said, the closer we walk with Christ, the more we expect Jesus to be there when we need him. He said, that's our faith in action. It's the same way with friends. The closer we are to a friend, someone we care about and cares about us, the more we expect them to be there when we need them. The second story Jesus tells on persistent prayer comes from Luke 18. And it's a parable. It says Jesus was telling them a parable about their need to pray continuously and not be discouraged. So, wow, Jesus is going to tell us a parable about praying consistently and continually without being discouraged. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and asking, give me justice in this case against my adversary. For a while he refused, but finally said to himself, I don't fear God or respect people, but I will give this widow justice because she keeps bothering me. Otherwise, there will be no end to her coming here and embarrassing me. The Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge just said. Won't God provide justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, Jesus said, he will give them justice quickly. You ever ask yourself why you pray? You ever give thought to what you pray for? I find myself often praying for direction. I find myself praying for peace, especially when I'm running around with too many things to do. I find myself praying for his presence. You know, I've come to learn that prayer, like scripture and like service and mission work, connects me with Christ. It builds upon our relationship. And prayer, friends, is an opportunity to foster what we call an attitude of gratitude. And so Paul reminds us, Gene, of our Thessalonians passage to give thanks in all circumstances. I call that an attitude of gratitude. My mom just moved into a somewhat smaller house 2 weeks ago, and I was there for a week to help her. She had the kitchen demoed a week before she moved in. So still today, she has no sink, no stove, no counters. She's washing dishes in the deep sink in the basement and putting the drainer rack on the washer and dryer. I spoke to her yesterday, and without a stove, she's running off a coffee maker, a microwave, and a toaster oven, and she learned you can't make hard-boiled eggs in a microwave. She said the door actually blew open yesterday when they exploded. And also, in this move, none of her box springs would fit up the stairs, and neither would her dresser. And yet, I will tell you, my mom is doing just fine. She says, I have a roof, I have food, I have air conditioning and working bathrooms. I am blessed. And praise God, yesterday my cousin took out a second floor window and he got all her box springs upstairs. So praise God for progress. But let me be perfectly clear here. Paul said to be thankful in all situations, in all circumstances. He didn't say to be thankful for all circumstances. You see, I'm not thankful for my dad getting Alzheimer's. I'm not thankful for my mother-in-law having dementia. I'm not thankful for my sister's cancer. But I am thankful for the time I spent with my dad. I am thankful and praise God for my sister's remission. And when I was in Philly, I also visited my mother-in-law, and I was reminded of what a blessing she continues to be. Friends, if we but open our eyes, we can be grateful in all situations. Now, I checked out some Barna research on folks who pray regularly and what they pray for. I would say they're listening to Paul in Thessalonians because 62% of the time, folks who pray regularly offer praise and thanksgiving. People who regularly pray have an attitude of gratitude. 61% of the time, they pray for their family's needs. 49% of the time, they pray for guidance. 47% of the time for health issues. 43% of the time they offer prayers of confession and ask for forgiveness. 43% pray as they are compelled to pray. And I believe that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You ever find yourself just compelled to pray about something? It's like, why? Why is that suddenly on my heart? Friends, I believe that's the Holy Spirit in our life. 37% pray for peace. 37% give thanks for meals. I got to tell you, when I read that, I was surprised. It's helpful to give thanks for meals. It helps us with an attitude of gratitude. 34% of the time, regular prayers lift up prayer requests. And 22% of the time, we pray for our nation, our community, our world, and for justice. Now, some could ask, why bother praying at all? Oh, how we can talk ourselves out of praying, can't we? Things like, people will say, I never thought he would answer. He's not listening. My needs are too big for him, or my needs are much too small for him. My life is a mess, and I'm not worthy to ask. I can handle this on my own. I'm too busy to pray. Why pray if God already knows my needs before I pray? None of those reasons. None of those reasons are supported by God's word. Even though in Matthew 6, chapter 8, it does say that God does know our needs before we ask. But Jesus also told us we're supposed to ask. We're supposed to seek. We're supposed to knock. You know, when the blind man cried out to Jesus and said, have mercy on me, son of David, Jesus looked at him and said, what do you want me to do for you? We're supposed to ask, even when God already knows what we need. You see, I believe we need to hear ourselves say the words. Somehow I believe we need to hear ourselves say the word. I think it's an act of humility. I think when we come to God, we are lowering ourselves and we are putting ourselves in our rightful place before Him. It's an act of humility where we admit to God and ourselves that we don't have all the answers, that we don't have it all together, and that we need Him. We need a Savior. I think we're supposed to ask and keep asking. Jesus modeled this for us. He regularly prayed to his Father, and he humbled himself in prayer. I don't think Jesus has ever asked us to do anything he wasn't willing to do first. Now, I could tell you story after story where God answers prayers. I have books on this, and they're wonderful to read. Sometimes we call them God winks. You know, God answers prayer, and he's like winking at us, like, hey, I'm here. I'm watching over you. I'm in your day-to-day life. But here's the truth also. We don't always get what we ask for. On Tuesday in Bible study, we talked about what the it is when we say ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. I added that one. Yeah, sometimes the it is exactly what we ask for. Sometimes it is. Sometimes God answers our prayers straight up. But sometimes he doesn't give us exactly what we want. Sometimes the it is his peace. Sometimes the it is the saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes the it is the strength to continue, the patience, the guidance, and his presence through the storms of life. He said, knock and the door will be opened. I think the door is sort of like the barrier between us and God. And yet if we will but knock, if we would just believe, the door will be opened. Yes, friends, God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want them answered. But hear this, God always answers prayer in a way that will enhance our spiritual journey with Him. Okay? God doesn't always answer our prayers exactly as we put them to Him, but He always answers prayer in a way that will enhance our spiritual journey with Him. My mom needed some old hardware for some of the doors in her new 99-year-old house. And we found this place 25 miles north of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, that specialized in architectural antiques. And the proprietor's name was Wayne. I told you I would tell you a little bit more about Wayne. So I met Wayne for the first time. I went into this old barn with junk all around. And he was about my age, and we introduced ourselves. And the first question he asked me, he said, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? I said, sure. He said, who do you say Jesus Christ is? I wasn't expecting that question. So I found out Wayne was a believer. He had just been to men's group that morning on Thursday morning, and we have a Thursday men's group here as well. I think that was a little wink from God. Wayne helped me and my mom find exactly what we were looking for. We found two door locks with skeleton keys. We found a piece of plumbing 100 years old that we needed, two antique light fixtures, and a side door for mom's garage. We found everything on our list, and his prices were incredibly reasonable. See, I believe God was winking at my mom just then in the midst of a stressful move, saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm with you. Mom recognized Wayne was a religious man. And Wayne said, I don't know about religious, but I like to think of myself as faithful. Suddenly, my mom is striking up a conversation with Wayne, and she confessed to Wayne that she struggles with what I'll call colorful language. Saying that she'd heard it since her childhood from her father. You see, I remember 6 years ago when I told my mom and my dad that I was going into the ministry, my mom said, oh my son, a reverend, and with the mouth on me. I have a similar affliction with colorful language, friends, from my grandfather and my parents, and I'm very aware of Ephesians 4:29 that says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who listen. I'm especially affected when I'm back in the Philly area and around family. Wayne encouraged me. He encouraged me to spend more time praising God. You know, that attitude of gratitude? He said from his own experience, he says, the more time, he says, I find myself praising God, the harder it is for me to use that colorful language. It's really hard to do something God doesn't want you to do when you're in the middle of praising Him. And so he reminded me we should praise Him more often. And I agree. And I agree that we can make excuses for some of our behavior, but at some point, friends, we have to accept responsibility for our behavior, even if it was nurtured into us at an early age and reinforced in factories that we worked in or in the Marine Corps. By the way, my mom was in the Marine Corps also. You see, I realize that when we ask, and we seek, and we knock, we can move from saying, we can't change, to what God can change. You see, in prayer, we can move from, Lord, I just can't change this behavior, to He can, to You can, Lord. But friends, I'm going to tell you, that requires us to ask expectantly, like He's really going to do it in our lives. And that requires us to ask often. So I'm going to add to my prayers my word choices at all times, especially when I'm stressed or when I'm driving. And I would appreciate your encouragement, especially when you hear I'm going back to Philly. right now, pretty ironic, it's the city of brotherly love, but right now I'm wondering if in this message, if there's anything God is putting on your heart at this very moment to bring to him in prayer. I'm wondering if there is an I can't that you say in your life that can become a he can in your life. And if God is speaking to you right now, just tuck that away for a prayer later in your prayer life. Write that down. Because we all have things that we do that we know don't please us and don't please others and don't please him. And sometimes we just say, I can't change that. And maybe that's true, friends. But he can. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and I will eat with them and they with me." I think he's saying he will be their Lord and their Savior if we let him. So friends, let's close just like we started, okay? Knock, knock. Midas. Might as well let more of Jesus into your life. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for the many blessings in our lives. Help us to see them, Lord. And help us by your Spirit, Lord, to pray more boldly and more often, even when we don't have the words and we don't know where to begin. Lord, encourage us to seek you out in our everyday lives and help us to frame our needs according to your will for us. For we place our trust in you, Lord. And the church agreed with this prayer and said, Amen. As you go forth, friends, know that you leave with the unfailing love of God. As you leave this place, know that by God's strength, you are able to face the challenges of the coming week. As you return to your daily lives, know that your pursuit of peace and your continuance to prayer reveals to the world that you are God's children. Amen. Go in peace.